Gotta love Family Sunday. You get to start with cartoons, right? Something all of us can understand. It is not easy being short. I think that video pretty much covered it, but just so that you'll know that it's entirely biblical, let's read real quick the account of Zacchaeus from Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." You know, it's a story that all of us know. It's a story that if you've been in church for very long, especially if you grew up in church, it's a Sunday school staple. And we like that story because it's a story about a little guy. And kids love that story because they can identify with a little guy, because the perspective would be a lot the same. And it's a neat story for so many different reasons. But it is so not easy being short. I grew up in a family with taller brothers, except for one. I had a tall sister. I had a tall father. I kind of grew slowly for my age, and I was smaller than a lot of the kids in elementary school and even moving into middle school. It is a terrible injustice that middle school girls get tall way before middle school boys. It's kind of like when you're a boy in the seventh grade, you're in a land of Amazons. You know, just hoping you'll catch up someday. It really bothered me that I was short. I remember buying shoes with 3-inch platform heels. Rick, you probably had some of those. I tell you, they were cool, man. They were so cool. Bell-bottom pants to go with them. I even once remember I had dingo boots, and I stuffed my boots with socks so I'd be 2 inches taller. Because there was this girl I liked, and she was about 2 inches taller. Even would be okay, but 2 inches shorter was just not something I could deal with. It was hard to navigate on those boots, but it was worth it. Eventually, I came to peace with my 5'10" and 15/16" maximum ever measured height. And I'm not there anymore. But I realized that I was never going to be the tallest. But since I could be the smartest and the best looking, it was probably okay. Thankfully, I was also humble. Well, the story here about Zacchaeus is a story in which we do have to fill in a lot of blank spots, because really the story's short, right? Not just like the guy. And there are not a lot of details there about Zacchaeus, and so we kind of have to extrapolate some of the facts. And I really believe, since we get a pretty good picture of the man before and the man after, which it is a before and after story, we can pretty reasonably decide what kind of a person this was. It's not a stretch, so to speak, to flesh it out this way. And not only is Zacchaeus, when we meet him, Zacchaeus before, short in altitude, he's also short in just about every other way. He is, I think, the ultimate picture of exactly what we've been talking about all this fall. And one reason I was excited about preaching about Zacchaeus is because there was a nifty little video to go with it, and I liked it because it's Family Sunday. I know the kids would identify with Zacchaeus' story. But I really like Zacchaeus because Zacchaeus is a tremendous figure in exemplifying exactly what we've been talking about for the past 10 or 11 weeks. He is the ultimate picture of what it looks like and what it leads to live a life where it's all about me. Right? Can you see that? Zacchaeus before is he's short on love. He seems only to love himself, and nobody loves him because he's a cheat. Zacchaeus is also short on trust because nobody trusts him, and he really, because of that, cannot trust anyone. Zacchaeus is also short on friends. Well, he probably could buy as many as he wanted with his money, but they aren't real. That's the point. And when the beer runs out, all the friends run off. Nobody wants to be his real friend simply because of who and what he is. Zacchaeus is also short of heart because his heart is only big enough to have things his way, to have what he wants and what he can own and what he can control. It's only big enough to move things for his sake and for his comfort. It's all he cares about. Zacchaeus is also short on compassion because he only is able to see that his own needs in his perspective matter. Well, we understand that he cannot see very far, and that is one of the little twists in the story. He wants to see Jesus, but he's short, and the crowd is preventing him from seeing much of anything. If you're a small child, you can kind of understand what it's like to live in a sea of not being able to see in the midst of all the tall people around you. The crowd is not his friend, but the reason Zacchaeus cannot see is not because he's 4 feet tall. It's because when we are wrapped up only in ourselves, in our smallness, we cannot see even beyond our own noses. When we first meet Zacchaeus, he would appear to be living large. He has all this money. He's got all this stuff. He's got everything that perhaps he thought that he wanted. He appears to need no one in this compressed, all-about-him world. He may, from the outside, be even applauded by some who say, wow, he's really learned how to work the system. He's done well for himself. He may look like the richest man in town, but I suspect, in truth, he is the poorest. He may appear to be living large, but in truth, he is trapped in a small body and imprisoned by a much smaller heart. And the thing that's really, really neat about this story is something in Zacchaeus knows this. Something in Zacchaeus is aware that things are not quite right, that things are not quite the way that they should be. It really is a heart problem, right? Can you see that? It's a heart problem. And Zacchaeus has a sense that his heart is not beating the right way. Some of you have had heart problems, and I know that sometimes hearts can go out of rhythm, and I've talked to people who've had that, and they said it's an unsettling thing, and sometimes they will just wake up, and they'll just know that something is not quite right with their heart. We're rapidly approaching Christmas season. Advent starts next Sunday. This room will be decorated for Christmas when you come back next week. It's really, really racing down the track this year. And I always, at Christmas time, think about Dr. Seuss and his story about the Grinch. You know that one? Everybody needs to know the Grinch. And this Grinch, if you remember, had a heart problem. And Dr. Seuss said his heart was two sizes too small. That's the Grinch. And as I thought about Zacchaeus, I also thought about the Grinch. I thought, that is Zacchaeus. That's a beautiful picture. Dr. Seuss has his hand right on what is wrong with Zacchaeus as well. That's Zacchaeus. And that's me. It's me when I make it all about me. It's me too when I am the center of my very small universe. That's me when I can trust only myself with my life and my future and my stuff and my heart. That's me when I have no room in my heart for other people's ideas, other people's way of doing things, other people's needs. So having kind of set up the Zacchaeus story, I wonder if you can see that none of this before part of the story really matters all that much. It is interesting because it gives us contrast, but it really isn't that much of a story because people like Zacchaeus are a dime a dozen. People who love themselves, who live only for themselves, are everywhere. The world is full of small people with very small worlds and small minds and small hearts and tight fists who have gotten to the place where they can only think of themselves. Some of whom apparently are managing at this point to live fairly large as rulers in the kingdom called me, myself, and I. So really, that's no story. It's no story. It is the all-too-ordinary, sin-infected, humbugged condition of all humans. The real story here is found in what changed the heart of this man who had run away from God and hidden in himself. That's the story. So what changed? That to me is maybe the most important question you could ask as you read this little story. What changed? What happened to make perhaps the most despised and selfish man in the New Testament decide to radically trust Jesus with his life and with his future and with his stuff and with his heart, all of those things we've been challenging ourselves with all fall? And this is an important story, not just because it's fun and not because it's kind of cute with 4-foot-tall Zacchaeus and not because it has a great moral when the story ends. The story is important because if there's hope for Zacchaeus, then there's hope for me, and there's hope for you. If a guy like Zacchaeus can learn that it's not all about him, then I can learn that too, and so can you. So what changed? Well, I'm going to answer that with two answers and one question very quickly today, all right? First answer to that question, what changed, is this. Number one, God knew. God knew. God knew Zacchaeus' heart. He knew what it was. He knew what it should be, what it could be. You know, God knows your heart too because he made it. If you ever want to know what God is like and who God is, look no farther than Jesus and watch how he treats people. One part of God's heart that I absolutely love is that God does not run away from runaways. I have to credit the Holy Spirit here with softening up Zach's tiny, fearful, shrunken heart, because the truth is no heart ever changes without the Holy Spirit's work. And if you are a person who was able to know you needed to be here today, maybe somebody, you know, drug you in here beyond your free will. Sometimes that's what my wife does to me. But if you, I'm not trying to say that you're perfect or that you've arrived, but if God has helped you to see the need in your life to change, if God has helped you in the struggle of becoming more, if God has challenged you to get out of your comfort zone, then the Holy Spirit has been at work. No heart ever changes without the Holy Spirit's work. And while Zach was hoping to see Jesus on that day, Jesus went out of his way to see Zacchaeus. And his heart softened, and Zach's heart opened, and Jesus invited himself to move in with, or maybe more correctly, move into Zacchaeus' expanding heart that day. God doesn't run away from runaways. You know, there's a lot of evangelism, I think, in the undercurrent of this story, and it could not be a more powerful testament to evangelism because we have the author of the good news himself trying to help Zacchaeus see beyond himself. Zacchaeus didn't really find Jesus that day. I think he just figured out that Jesus had already been looking for him. And I think that's probably more true for all of us than we remember. This God who searches, this good shepherd who is in no conceivable way self-centered. Because a selfish shepherd will not find many lost sheep. A selfish shepherd has no heart for them. He has no time for them. He can't be too bothered by them. But in this beautiful picture, Zacchaeus opens his heart an inch, and God takes him a mile. The seeking, saving, searching, rescuing God found another lost sheep that day. Zacchaeus finally stopped running. And I just would tell you today, God knows your heart too. And if you're running, God knows that. And maybe he is simply waiting for you to look down and see him looking up at you. So there's the first answer to what changed. God knew. Second answer to what changed is Zac grew. We love this short story for lots of reasons, but we especially love it because of the twist. Because it's a powerful before and after story. The richest man in town, the most self-centered man in town, the most hated man in town, the most it's all about me man in town, and perhaps the loneliest man in town, has an encounter with Jesus, and everything changes. Everything. Remember that Grinch? I love the way that story turns out. It's a before and after story, but in both stories, it could be said that his heart grew three sizes that day. And notice it's not just lip service. It's easy to talk a good talk when it comes to change. It's easy to be moved into an apparent transformation. This is not just that. The little man of our story becomes long in restitution. He becomes tall in generosity. He becomes large in compassion and downright lanky in his openness to other people who are around him and their needs. See, when Jesus comes to your house, sometimes it's a clean house. And Zac came clean. And, you know, we can make a lot of conclusions about this, and we can wonder, well, did it really last? Was it a flash in the pan? Is it really even possible for someone to be so far over here and then just by coming to know Jesus can be so far on the other extreme? I mean, we can wonder about all of that, but Jesus settles the matter. Today, Zacchaeus, salvation has come to this house. All right, so God knew and Zac grew. The last point is a question. We're finishing up the Not About Me part of this series, and we'll step into Advent next week through the rest of the year. So here's where we're going. God knew, Zac grew, us too. There is a greedy green cousin of small-hearted Zacchaeus in every one of us. We want it to be all about us because one particular little g God that we serve sits on the throne of our hearts and he demands it, or she demands it. The most ancient and enduring of idolatries can be summed up in two words: I want. And we often in our lives have built altars to that little g God. And we spend a lot of our lives trying to bring the things that we think we have, trying to win the battles where it's always my way, trying to make it all about me to stoke the fire of that altar. And I know that Christians are not perfect on this side of heaven, and we never will be. I know that we are always works in progress, and God is making us into something more like him and less like ourselves. I understand all of that. But so often we are so much the antithesis of what Paul wrote about in Philippians 2 when he talked about Jesus, who should be on the throne in our lives. Jesus, who he said, even though he was equal with God, did not consider equality with God something to be clung to, but he let go and he lowered himself. Of course, the story of Advent, the story of Christmas, is God putting skin on. coming down here to live with us. But Paul went on to say in Philippians 2 that we should make it our ultimate goal to have that mind of Christ, and that would cause us to live our lives in which we are more concerned about other people and their needs and even their wants than our own. You see, selfishness, man, my goodness, as Christians, we write ourselves a lot of free passes because we don't think we're that bad, right? Or that we're way better than so-and-so. Selfishness isn't just ugly, and it isn't just awkward given who we are and all that's been given to us. And that's one reason we've spent weeks and weeks talking about the problem of selfishness. But let's call it what it is. Selfishness is sin. Every single time, in every single way. And the taproot of sin is found right in the middle of that little word. And I bet you can see it. It's not the S. It's not the N. It's the I. And it is I. I want this. I want that. I don't like this. I don't like that. I want it right now. I want to run things. I want to call the shots. I want it to be all about me. It's a familiar song. I want what I want, and I want it now. I want. It's ugly. It's childish. It's ungrateful. It's unbecoming. It can be summed up in a three-year-old's best tantrum or a green Grinch's desiccated killjoy heart or a short tax collector's tight-fisted greed. Or it can be summed up in my heart when I make it or even allow it to be or even think it should be all about me. The thing I love about this story is that we get to see a change, a transformation. We get to see a cure. The only cure for small, sin-infested hearts is to give them to God and ask Jesus to change them and grow them and ask Him to run things and ask Him to be in charge and let Him be in control, which we have to do over and over and over repeatedly. But we give it over to Him, and we trust Him then to do it. You and I have been up in that same tree with Zacchaeus. Isn't it about time we came down and let Jesus come home with us? Father, I thank You for this story. It is a story that we laugh about. It's a story that's fun to us because this little short guy has to climb up in a tree. Lord, as we consider it a little bit more closely, we begin to realize that it's not a story for kids. It's a story for the tallest of us and the smallest of us. Father, I pray today as we have remembered the story, You would help us to see ourselves in it, which side of the before and after we stand on. Because, Lord, Zacchaeus is not the only collector who wrestled with having things his way. Lord, You got our number in this story. You see who we are. You see what sometimes we become. I pray, Lord, through this picture of a little man with a little heart, You will help us see that if we simply will release control and allow You to sit on the throne in our lives, we can have the same amazing experience that Zacchaeus did, and we can be transformed by Your love. And in so doing, we will no longer come up short, because we'll be just like our Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for checking out a worship experience here at Washington Avenue Christian Church. We're so glad that you chose to carve out part of your weekend to spend with us. And we would love to know that you were here watching with us online. So would you take just a moment, head over to our website, wacconline.org, and fill out the digital connect card there. You can let us know that you were here. You can let us know any next steps that you may be interested in taking, including but not limited to placing your faith in Jesus for the very first time. You can also let us know about anything that we can be praying about for you and with you. And I will be following up with you later on this week about those connect cards. Again, we're so glad that you chose to be with us for this worship experience at Washington Avenue Christian Church, where real people experience real grace.